Hello, everyone. This is Dave Burda, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to Foresight Health's How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think podcast, where we get inside the heads of people trying to fix the healthcare system. Our guest on today's show is Dr. Jeffrey Wessler. Wessler is a cardiologist, and he's the founder and CEO of Heartbeat Health. Heartbeat Health is a New York-based virtual cardiac care company that proactively identifies, treats, and manages patients with moderate to high cardiovascular risks. I interviewed Wessler as part of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think series. I talked with Dr. Wessler about his public health background, his inherited entrepreneurial spirit, his thoughts on the Make America Healthy Again movement, and whether he likes the pit. Hey, Dr. Wessler, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for making time for me this afternoon.
Thanks for making time for me.
So you're going from back in a lab to public health, which is perhaps the broadest audience you could possibly have. So explain that move to me or interest.
Yeah, so I had this opportunity post-college to go overseas to Cambridge in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a epidemiology and public health program that was effectively the training program for the NHS or the National Health Service there. And I jumped at it for a couple reasons. Number one, I wanted to experience the academic world overseas, which is renowned and so different from the United States training system.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, I wanted to get a better understanding of big data and how data could be used to improve health, not at the microscopic level, but at the biggest picture possible. And so, yes, this is about as far away from molecular design as you can get, but it shares the same problem-solving issue, which is trying to create something that's going to improve human health. And that is what Cambridge gave me, was a framework now for thinking about populations instead of, you know, just patients or molecules, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that, and I craved that, and certainly got that understanding for how important data sets and evaluation of evidence and big picture thinking was going to be if you wanted to really make a dent in improving the lives and the health of a population.
And then where does the entrepreneurial spirit come from? I mean, we'll go back in time again. I don't know, did you have a paper route? I don't even know if people have paper routes anymore, but where did that part? Because I'm sure a lot of cardiologists feel exactly like you do, but not many make that jump into starting a business.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick story about where I think this might have come from. So okay. I mentioned my grandfather was a big deal cardiologist. One of the founders of Barnes Jewish Hospital, was the chief of medicine there, was at Harvard as a professor before, NYU for a while. And there's this story that is sort of lore in our family now, which is that one day he was a heparin researcher,
okay.
Heparin being one of these blood thinners. And when he was at Beth Israel, which is one of the Boston hospitals, he was running a lab where he was doing research with heparin and then also would be caring for patients in the hospital. And back then, when a patient needed a medicine administered in the middle of the night or any time of the day, the doctor had to go in and place an IV in order to do that and then take the IV out. Otherwise, it would clot, which could cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how things were done. And so as a busy clinician scientist, he said, well, there's got to be a better way to do this. And one day when he got called in the middle of the night, he said he fashioned this IV and then put some heparin in it and coated the walls of the IV in heparin so that it wouldn't clot, and then put it in the patient and secured it so it would stay there. This worked pretty well. Now he didn't need to go in every time to place a new IV. And so he wrote this up and published it in the New England Journal of Medicine. The next day he gets a call from the dean at Harvard that says, you just cost our institution $1 billion because you created what is now known as the HepLock, which is used in every single patient who's in the hospital every single day of their system, and you put it in the public domain, so we can't patent it anymore.
That's great. I've heard of HepLock. Yeah. My wife's a nurse.
Yeah,
so.
There we go. So,
yeah, interesting.
That was, I suppose, failed entrepreneurship that created this drive to
missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you think that kind of trickled down through the DNA into your blood, huh?
I think so. And I've always have considered myself a builder and tried to create and tinker with new things. And, you know, long before Heartbeat, I had lots of things that were building apps and working on patents that none of which ended up going anywhere, but it's what I loved doing and continue to love doing today.
Yeah. Now let's talk about this Make America Healthy Again thing and kind of reference earlier when I asked you about people asking you about aches and pains and do they got pain in their left arm? What do I do? Kind of a thing. You know, part of that upside down food pyramid is to eat more red meat, more full fat dairy products. And I remember about 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with high cholesterol. Very first thing my PCP said, okay, cut down on the red meat, switch to skim milk, and I'm putting you on a statin, you know, and that seemed to take care of everything. So I'm just curious how that's affected what you do either at HealthBeat or your relationship with patients. And I'm just curious how that's playing out in your life.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked. It's asked about frequently now, so I'm glad to share a couple thoughts on it. Number one, I think, you know, any movement that gets people paying attention to what they're eating and how they live, at the baseline, that's a good thing. And I think why? Because the burden of preventable cardiac disease and heart disease in the U.S. is just staggering, and we have not made nearly enough progress here. Where I get more cautious is when the messaging is simplified so much to the point of being counterproductive. And I think actually red meat and saturated fat and, you know, cardiovascular outcomes, that's not ambiguous. You know, we now have decades of pretty rigorous data around that. The part that I think is critical to understand is you've got to let the science and evidence lead the conversations here. And that has not been embraced with the MAHA movement in a way that I think has the chance to do some harm and has the chance to make recommendations that don't live on science. And, you know, certainly the anti-vaccine push is a good example of a place where there is harm going to be done from, you know, not recommending vaccines to appropriate populations. So I think if you can focus on the, you know, pay attention to what you're eating, pay attention to how you're moving your body every day, and follow the science and follow the evidence, then I think you can do a lot of good. The one thing I will say that has not been a focus yet of the Make America Healthy, but I think will likely become more prominent. We've spent the last few years, everyone talks about protein all the time. The next wave of that is going to be fiber. And everyone's going to start talking about fiber in the next few years. I'm confident about that. And I think that is a good thing. Fiber is, you know, dramatically under ingested by people and has the potential to really help with a lot of clinical benefit and physical benefits to patients. So expect that to be a big part of the conversation in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think a study just came out about the biggest jump in cancer cases among the young is in colon cancer. And I think about the diet of my three children, and I'm always saying, hey, the time to start using Metamucil is now, not after your first colonoscopy, right?
100%. Yep.
It's time for them to get on that. Yeah. I did hear an oncologist speak a couple months ago, and a patient of hers came to the emergency room with pain and said, she's like, well, why haven't you been taking your prescription strength Tylenol? And he said, because I don't want to get autism. You know, so this was one anecdote of many she shared how her relationships with her patients has changed or have changed. I mean, do you get questions like that when you see patients? Has that changed at all?
Yeah, I think that's a great example of this was a ill-informed communication and statement that has harmed lots of people. Now, the absence of taking Tylenol, the harm there may not be as big as, say, vaccines. But
Right. Yeah,
that you've got to, when you have such a powerful voice in the community that, you know, listens and leans on what is being said, you have to ground your statements in evidence. And the evidence has been very clear that Tylenol does not cause autism. And,
Right. You
know, that correlation is certainly not causal. And so it's just a great example of the unintended consequences of ill-informed data stories.
And are you tired of people asking you if you've been watching The Pitt?
I am not tired because I think it's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
And so I've really enjoyed reliving my ER. ER was one of those shows of my childhood that I loved.
Right.
Getting to do that again is pretty fun. Thank you so much. A real pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Have a good rest of your day. If you'd like to learn more about how Dr. Wessler thinks, please read our Q&A with him on foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.